As we celebrate our nation's independence, it's a great time to take stock of your own freedom. Are you resolving to become financially independent or falling under the bondage of money? Well, it's one or the other. Either you control your money or your money controls you. One is the way to financial freedom, but the other leads to bondage. Today, financial planner and teacher Rob West reveals which path you're on. I'm Steve Moore. Great to have you along for MoneyWise Live. So, Rob, here's a hanging curveball right over the plate for you, sir. What's so great about financial independence?
Well, Steve, we also describe it as financial freedom, and it means that you have choices, options. When you have control over money, you have a greater ability to decide where and how to live. In some cases, even where you work and how much you work. Financial freedom also enables you to be more generous. Folks often say they'd like to be able to give more to God's kingdom, but they just can't afford it. Well, the more you control the money flowing through your household, the more generous you can be. So that's what's so great about financial independence.
Okay, well, you hit that one out of the park. How do we know which path we're really on?
Yeah. Obviously, the biggest signpost on the road to financial bondage is debt. The greater your debt, the less free you are. We can quickly go to Proverbs 22:7. It reads, "The borrower is slave to the lender." Pretty clear. That's because when you're in debt, you're really working for someone else, not yourself and not God. The more you have to pay out each month to service your debt, the less freedom you have to use that money in other ways, like serving God more fully.
Okay, so avoid debt and we're financially free. That seems kind of simple, huh?
Unfortunately, debt is just one form of financial bondage. There's another form that's more difficult to recognize. In fact, you may not have any debt at all. You can be rolling in money and still be a slave to it. It's the mindset that material things will make you comfortable. When you think that way, the more you acquire, the more restricted you become. Things come to own you, not the other way around. At some point, you may start to realize that money isn't freeing you. It's enslaving you and keeping you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. In fact, although the Bible doesn't say that there is anything inherently wrong with wealth, there are clear warnings about our attitude toward wealth. And Steve, it really comes down to a heart issue.
Okay. So what are the danger signs to warn us of this kind of financial bondage?
Well, first, you think so much about money that you have no peace with God. Your focus is day to day rather than the eternal. Another one that might be easier to spot is that you can't give as generously as you would like or think you should. An opportunity comes along to be more generous, perhaps even to give sacrificially, but you just can't make yourself do it. You think, I might need that money for something else, so you don't act when you feel that God even may be leading you.
Yeah, and I think most of us have probably experienced that. Are we all in financial bondage?
Well, you're right. It's not unusual to occasionally want to give more than you can, but it becomes financial bondage, I believe, when it happens to you over and over and begins to weigh on your heart. Perhaps God's trying to tell you something. Now, here's another danger sign that you're in financial bondage, and that is a lack of contentment. You always want bigger, better, faster. You're not content with God's provision. You crave more. When you think that way, it doesn't matter how much you have. It will never be enough.
Are there other or more tangible outward signs of financial bondage?
Well, I think there are several. For starters, you constantly argue with your spouse about money. Yeah. Most couples disagree about money occasionally, but when it becomes a habit, it's a sign that money is controlling you. Another outward sign relates back to debt. If you don't pay off your credit card balance in full each month, you're in financial bondage. That might make a lot of folks uncomfortable because they're carrying a balance on one or more cards, but there's no escaping it. The bigger your card debt, the more you're in financial bondage. So if you're in debt, you have to stop charging things. Get on a budget. Start paying down your debt. We have coaches that can help you do that at moneywise.org. But if you have the other form of financial bondage with plenty of money and possessions but no peace, try giving more. Giving, I find, breaks the power that money can have over us. And keep in mind, underlying all of God's financial principles is his desire that we remain free to serve him. And that's true independence.
And on this Independence Day weekend, the Liberty Bell is inscribed with Leviticus 25:10. Proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. More MoneyWise Live after this.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover The Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of The Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
We have all experienced or heard how the tough economic times have caused many folks to face debts they simply cannot pay. We all have a spiritual debt called sin that we are unable to pay on our own. Thankfully, 2,000 years ago, God decided to take care of our sin debt. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, down to the cross and placed all of our sin debt upon him. Now, any person who receives and accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior can be forgiven that spiritual debt for all their sin. Some people just keep trying to work things out and hope they will change until something forces them to make a decision. With sin, death is that point when the decision will be made for you. Don't wait until it is too late. To learn more about how to accept this incredible gift and be in a relationship with Jesus, just call 888-NEED-HIM or go to chataboutjesus.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is a reminder that today's program is a rebroadcast, so even if you hear the number, please don't call. But you can send us an email at questions@moneywise.org. We were chatting about millennials, Gen X, the great generation. I think, Rob, I'm somewhere in between. I know I'm a boomer, but I'm thinking I might be partially in the sandwich generation you mentioned. I spend a lot of time at Subway, so I think maybe I could be part of that generation.
You're automatically adopted into that generation if you visit at least once a week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do. I try to lose weight by eating their sandwiches. I'm not sure if it's working. 800-525-7000, Lima, Ohio. Hello, Joan. How can we help you?
Hi. I have a question. I have a daughter who is became disabled 5 years ago. And she is on Medicare, Medicaid, and collects disability. She had a friend raise money on a GoFundMe account for her to attend therapy. Excuse me. And I am wondering if that would affect her benefits in any way.
Sure. Well, Joan, first of all, thank you so much for calling. We certainly know how difficult a situation this is, and yet we serve a big God who's on the throne. So when we finish today, I'd like to pray for your daughter. We'll certainly ask our MoneyWise Live community to do that as well. Let's address this particular question, though. GoFundMe, as you're aware, but for the benefit of our audience, is a crowdfunding site that allows individuals to create campaigns to raise money, and often they're set up by friends or family of the people with a large need. Unfortunately, proceeds from a GoFundMe, as far as I understand, will or may, I should say, affect your Medicaid eligibility. Medicaid, of course, is a state and federally funded medical assistance program that pays for these medical and long-term care services. And to be eligible, as you know, you must have income and assets below specified standards, and those certainly vary by state. Well, funds from a GoFundMe account typically will push an otherwise or may push an otherwise eligible recipient's income or assets above the eligibility threshold. So it would be factored in and would certainly need to be weighed against those requirements and maximums. If you set one up for yourself and you have access to those funds, that will be an accountable resource for determining eligibility. If someone else sets it up and you don't have access to the funds, it's possible it may not affect eligibility, but of course the ability to use it is dependent upon access. So a better alternative, and this is where I'm going to direct you, may be to set up what's called a supplemental needs trust. Assets held in this type of trust or ones similar are not considered to be owned by the beneficiary and therefore not considered when determining Medicaid eligibility. So what I would encourage you to do, Joan, is to perhaps ask for a recommendation from your church for a godly estate planning attorney. You could certainly go to our website, moneywiselive.org, look for a certified kingdom advisor in your area and ask him or her for that same referral to a godly estate planning attorney, preferably somebody who has experience in this area of special needs, to be able to get some counsel around perhaps a trust that may be able to set up, to be the recipient of any funds, whether it's transferred in from the GoFundMe account or from other means, to be able to provide for her now and in the future and even beyond your life, to make sure that she's provided for and done in such a way that perhaps it could avoid affecting the Medicaid eligibility. Does that make sense, though?
Yes. It's none of the money is in her name, and it's all gone directly to rehab. Okay. She's not living off of the money, and she's not. It's not in her name. It's nowhere, you know, under her name. She has no account just because of her situation. She's never had any assets to her name.
Okay. All right. And so that may be acceptable then. And I would certainly raise that question with the attorney that you talked to just to get some counsel there. But if she doesn't have access to it, it may in fact be not countable toward the Medicaid eligibility. So it's certainly worth looking into. I'm delighted to hear, obviously, that these folks, or at least one individual, has set this up. And what a blessing that is. But I think given that she's not touched it, not using it, perhaps doesn't have access to it, that may then change whether or not it is countable. But I would look into that further and explore whether or not for other assets that would come into her name, even at your death or somebody else's who would provide for her needs, how that needs to be done from an estate planning standpoint. Let me pray for her. Father, we just lift up this precious one, Lord, your creation, your daughter, and just ask that you would show up in her situation, Lord. You know every cell in her body. You're her creator. And so we ask for, Lord, as the great physician, for you to intervene. We ask for wisdom as she and her mom navigate these situations. Lord, I pray that the body of Christ would rally around her, as is already being done, to provide support and encouragement. I pray that through this difficult situation, Lord, you would draw her to yourself. And we're just going to leave her in your hands and tell you today we love you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, Joan, again, if you don't have a financial planning attorney in your church, you can certainly easily find one when you visit moneywise.org. Just scroll toward the bottom of the page. Easy to find for your area, and we wish you the best with that. Thank you very, very much. Let's squeeze in one more. Plano, Texas. Irene, what's your question for Rob?
Hi, thank you so very much for taking my call. I'm a single mother of a 24-year-old, extraordinary young lady. She graduated from the University of Arkansas a little bit over a year ago. She moved back in with me. And recently I tried to refinance my home just to get rid of the MIB on my FHA loan. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, my application was denied because I co-signed for her student loans. And to be able to get approved, basically, she needs to remove my name from her loan. And she's been very responsible on making her monthly payments, which are about $1,000 a month. And we just need to find some the best option for her. So please help.
Yeah. Well, I certainly can understand the challenge here. We should be grateful that she is able to make those payments, and she's been doing that on a timely basis. So this hasn't impacted your credit negatively, apart from the fact that this is debt, obviously, that's being factored into whether or not you qualify for this mortgage. Really, the only way to take your name off is really one of three situations. Number one, it gets paid off in full. Of course, that requires the resources to do so. So I realize that's not easy to do. The second would be to refinance it, and be it to be refinanced in her name only. Given that she's paid down some of it, and perhaps now that she's making a good salary, if it's possible for her to qualify on her own and take the full burden of it as she refinances it, that would be the ability to get you off the loan. Obviously, she just needs to be aware that if she goes from a federal loan, if these are federal loans, to a private loan when it's refinanced, then she's going to lose some of the income payment, income-based payment options and flexibility offered through the federal loan program. So just be aware of that, but that would accomplish this purpose. The other opportunity, if these are private loans, would be to see if they would be willing to take the name off. But again, they're not likely to do that, and typically aren't willing because they don't have to, and they'd rather have more people to go after for recourse. And she would have to be able to qualify on her own if she did that. So I think the best option for you at this point, if you're willing, again, if it's federal, to move to a private loan, would be to look at refinancing, assuming she can qualify on her own with her own assets, credit history, and income. Do you think that's possible, Irene?
Well, that is the option that we absolutely were willing to seek. The problem that we are facing, and we've been praying about it so much, is wisdom, which direction to go. And it is a private loan. And so, yes, she called the bank basically asking if she could refinance or her own. They're saying that, yes, she needs to apply, but we just wanted to make sure that that could be the best option for her, or if there is any other institution that it can be recommended for this type of thing, that it can be more trustworthy.
Yeah. Well, I think at this point, the opportunity is really just to look at the lenders out there. There are more now than there have ever been. I would check Thrivent. I would check SoFi. You can look at Earnest. I mean, if you just do a Google search, you'll see all of the lenders that are out there that specialize in student loans. You can compare the rates. And, of course, you would need to seek whether or not she is eligible to qualify on her own. If you go to NerdWallet.com, that'd be a great site just to compare the lenders with the best rates.
Rob, if she hasn't missed any payments in the last 5 years, since 2014, well, we can talk about that after we come back. You're listening to MoneyWise Live.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Prayer is one of the mysteries. It may be one of the most mysterious elements of the Christian disciplines. And one of the big questions that in philosophical circles that we could wrestle with in Christianity is, how much does prayer help, matter, or change anything? I mean, if God's going to do what God's going to do, why pray? I mean, you've heard that 1,000 times. But God's word says in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, that we are to pray about everything. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God never wastes our time. So if he says pray about everything, that means everything can be affected by prayer. Amen? There is never anything too small or too hard. And so the mystery of it is, how much and what and how does it change? What happens in the heavenlies? And these are not answers I have for you today. There are things that Paul is intentionally causing us to wrestle with through different places in the epistles, so that we'll try to come up the place where we can bend the knee to some things we will never truly understand, but we do out of pure obedience to believe that what God says is true.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's quick word. Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Class begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. You can watch the latest episode of her television program and more. Again, that's BethMoore.org.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is MoneyWise Live, where we meet each day to encourage one another to manage our money biblically and effectively. That includes things like mortgages and student loans. And Rob, that last caller was a mom who had co-signed for her daughter 5 years ago in 2014. Since none of the payments have been missed, apparently, from 2014 until 2019, I would certainly hope that the lender this time around might find a way to renegotiate that without needing a cosigner. What do you think?
Well, it just really depends on her income and credit history. Obviously, what's going to hurt her is that she has a lack of credit history. But it doesn't mean that this is out of the question. I mean, certainly there are a number of lenders that really specialize in this area. So really the steps are, first of all, check rates with multiple lenders. And again, nerdwallet.com as well as studentloanhero.com would be great sites. Choose a lender that matches the terms that you like. Lowest interest rate, of course. Have your documents ready. She's going to need proof of income and then all of her statements, of course, ID and proof of citizenship. And then make sure you keep paying your loans as you wait for approval. You don't want to do anything until you know this is a done deal and it's been refinanced. But I think that is the direction to go if mom wants to get off the loan. And there's certainly a good chance that she could, in fact, do that.
All right. Rob West is our nerd host. And you like that, don't you? Nerd Wallet. You kind of like that, don't you?
It just, I kind of do.
It's different.
Yeah, exactly.
Spokane, Washington. Hey, Justin, thanks so much for your patience. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is, a couple years ago, I switched employers, and my previous employer had a profit-sharing plan. So I have some money in that profit-sharing plan. And my new employer, they have a 401k, so I've set up a 401k, putting money into that. So my question is, what should I do with this profit-sharing money that's set aside for retirement? Because it's still in that employer's name, my name personally, but you know, they're administering the plan, I guess. So what should I do with that?
Yeah. Well, because your profit-sharing plan, Justin, is considered a qualified retirement plan by the IRS, the assets within it, cash or securities, can be easily rolled into an IRA, and that's actually what I recommend you do. So you have to decide how the assets are transferred. In some cases, you can just transfer them in kind, meaning the assets, the cash, the stocks, the mutual fund shares. If the institution you're transferring them to with the new IRA can hold them, then you can transfer them over as is into that rollover IRA. Alternatively, you can elect to have the assets sold, and the cash proceeds would then be transferred. And once the cash comes into the account, then you could make your investment decisions. So I think the next step for you, if you go that direction, which, by the way, would give you complete flexibility as to how you want that managed, either yourself or by a professional, as well as the investment options you choose. You'd have access to literally any stock, bond, mutual fund, exchange traded fund that you'd like, which gives you a lot of flexibility. So then at that point, the next step is to decide, okay, where is my custodian or who is my custodian? Where do you want to open that IRA? And I would throw out Vanguard. I would throw out Schwab. I would throw out perhaps Betterment as more of a newer kind of app-driven, web-driven approach. But any one of those would be good. If you have a current relationship with an investment advisor or a financial professional, you could open it with that professional as well. But that would be the direction I'd head, Justin. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes great sense, because I didn't know where to, you know, how to transfer that money and where to put it. So that really helps out a lot. Thank you.
Good. You're very welcome. Thanks for calling, and we appreciate you listening.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. Again, Rob, an email question. Dear Rob, you teach about putting at least 20% down payment on a house. What's your guidance for down payment on buying a car? Is it the same?
Ah, yeah, that's a great question. I do use the same 20% rule for a car. Now, remember, a car is a depreciating asset as opposed to a house, which is, I'm more inclined to borrow for a home because the value is going to be preserved. Car, not so much. So I'd rather you save and buy for cash. But if you can't do that, 20% down is going to make sure that you keep your payment low and keep you out of a position where you're upside down at any point.
All right. If you have an email question for Rob, it's questions@moneywise.org. Whatever you do, don't buy a Pontiac. They don't make them anymore. Hey, you're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. Today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any calls, but we have some calls lined up and some great information coming your way that I think you'll find usable at the very, very least. This is MoneyWise Live. I'm Steve Moore. We'll be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week for this Independence Day is found in John 8:34 through 36. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That's John 8:34 through 36, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
One more reason why the ministry of Moody Radio is so important.
This may be the only opportunity somebody might have to hear the gospel. We know that the gospel will change lives, and so that's why it's important. We need changed lives that will follow Christ.
Your gift to Moody Radio helps listeners like this encounter the gospel through clear Bible teaching.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org. Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump will be at Mount Rushmore this evening to kick off the Independence Day weekend. The president will join several thousand people for a patriotic display of fireworks at the National Memorial. California's governor is urging people to wear masks and skip 4th of July family gatherings as the state's coronavirus tally rises. But Governor Gavin Newsom says he'd rely on people using common sense rather than strict enforcement of the face covering order. Iraq is enforcing positions along the border with Turkey to try to prevent the Turkish military advancing deeper into Iraqi territory after 2 weeks of airstrikes as Ankara continues to target Kurdish rebels in northern Iraq. Wall Street closed today in observance of Independence Day. It will reopen Monday after a solid holiday-shortened week. This is SRN News.
This is MoneyWise. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. And you are Rick in Ashland, Ohio. We appreciate your presence, sir. What's your question?
Hey, thanks for having me on, fellas.
Sure.
My question is, I'm dealing with the three elements of giving, building up the emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of living expenses and the debt. Made a commitment recently, just feeling very convicted that that's a non-negotiable anymore, 10%. You know, we're giving that to the church, to the Lord's work. Mm-hmm. On the other aspect, my question is, should I simultaneously work on eliminating the debt and building up, you know, that emergency fund, or should I prioritize? And I guess the caveat to that question is the debt, I'm really not paying any interest on, and I'm on pace to have it basically paid off without paying any interest on it. But I struggle, I guess, with the psychological aspect of it, is I kind of just want to get it done and really, you know, basically almost snowball some savings, if, you know, as if that's a way to use it or say it.
Sure.
And then
sure.
I have a follow-up question regarding some retirement stuff after that, if you guys have time to answer that question as well. So I'll just start with the first one there for you
sure.
in terms of the prioritizing.
Yeah, Rick, well, I love what you're describing here because I completely concur with your approach. And by the way, Steve mentioned a moment ago our brand new website. If you go to MoneyWiseLive.org, and by the way, it's completely mobile optimized. And so if you're out and about, as long as you're not driving, you can pull it up on a tablet or a smartphone and you'll still see it really well. But about three quarters of the way down is a diagram. We call it the freedom target. And basically at level one, you need to do exactly what you're focused on. You want to track your monthly spending. You want to start giving if you're not already. You want to repay all your credit card debt and you want to save for emergencies. Now, here's what we say, and you'll see this on the chart. We say if as long as you have credit card debt, if you don't have the emergency fund, then I would stop at $1,500 in emergency savings and focus really every extra dollar on repaying that credit card debt. Once the credit card debt is eliminated, and I realize you've juggled it in such a way that you're not paying any interest, but I still want to get rid of it. Once it's paid off, then let's really focus on getting that emergency savings up to 3 to 6 months expenses before we move into level two, which in the O and the grow category, O, you want to repay all debt except the mortgage. So we'd go after consumer debt next. And then in the grow area, we want to move toward setting aside 10 to 15% of your paycheck toward retirement. And that's really, in my view, the priority order.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. Now, getting into that 10 to 15% when I get to the retirement, my question there would be, you know, I have the Roth IRA capabilities. Obviously, I have one that I was paying years ago. But I also have 403B options in my profession.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, should I still max out first? Is that the best way to go about it? Is target the Roth IRA, max out what I can put into that, and then look at the 403B options? Because I know there's some tax benefits there as well.
Sure.
From the 403B standpoint in terms of my income.
Yeah. Do you get any matching, Rick, on the 403B?
Fortunately no. There's no matching there.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd start with the Roth and fully fund the Roth for you, and if you're married, for you and your wife. And then I'd pivot over to the 403B for additional giving. You're right. I like the idea of having money going into each bucket, because with the Roth, you don't get the deduction, so there's no benefit to your taxes in terms of tax reduction in the current year, but you enjoy that tax-free growth and tax-free withdrawals in retirement. The benefit to the 401K, if you use it to supplement the Roth beyond fully contributing to the Roth in this calendar year, then you'd get the tax benefit now and the tax deferred growth. So I'd go Roth first, and then if you have more room, when you go 10 to 15% of your paycheck, then I'd use the 403B second.
Great questions, Rick, and we hope that helps you. Sounds like you're really moving and heading in the right direction. God bless you. Up to New York State, and Jed, what's on your mind today, sir?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Super. Great, Jed. Thank you, Jed.
So my wife and I are doing a nice job of paying down our mortgage, or paying off our mortgage. I hope to have my house paid free and clear by the time I'm 45. Nice. But that's kind of come at a cost, and we haven't done anything in the line of savings. We've done a little bit of savings, but we've done very little as far as retirement is concerned. However, I'm a teacher in New York, and I have New York State teacher retirement hopefully waiting for me. And I hope that's enough, but I don't know. I wanted to get your input on that.
Yeah. Well, Jed, it all comes down to what your need is in retirement based on the lifestyle you want to be able to maintain once you're no longer working. So I'd recommend you take some time, and it's going to cost you a little bit, but it shouldn't be terribly expensive, and it'll be well worth the cost to hire a financial planner, not even necessarily to take over with investment management or anything like that, but just buy some time for somebody to really provide some retirement and financial planning for you and your wife, to be able to look at the various guaranteed income sources you're expecting in retirement, look at your current lifestyle, compare that against what you might expect, both from Social Security and the teacher's retirement, as well as just giving a once-over to all the other areas, the risk and the insurance policies you have and so forth. And then if you're saving for college, those types of things. And really look at whether this is going to be sufficient and you should just go full steam ahead on paying off the house. Or if not, if you're going to need to supplement that with some additional retirement savings, I suspect this is the better option in terms of maximizing the compounding that might be there. What you may want to do is split that extra money going toward the mortgage, where half's going into retirement, half toward the house. Maybe you don't pay it off quite as quickly, but at least you benefit from getting some of that money working for you on a tax-deferred basis in a Roth IRA or something like that. But I think having a plan and knowing whether you're on track, ahead, or behind is really important, so you're not just guessing and hoping that everything turns out okay. You really have a target that you're shooting for. The other thing that's going to do for you, Jed, is once you know that you're doing everything you need to do to kind of have enough, whatever that is for you and your family, then it allows you to accelerate your giving because you know, hey, I'm on track. This is kind of the financial finish line for me, and anything beyond that, I'm going to use to ultimately be completely debt-free and perhaps respond to more giving opportunities. So if you don't have that person in your life, Jed, go to MoneyWiseLive.org and look for a certified Kingdom advisor in your area. This is going to be a financial planner who is also a specialist in the application of a biblical worldview to financial decision-making, and that's what that designation is all about. And you can find someone right there in upstate New York that can meet with you.
Okay. Could I just ask one more?
We just have a few seconds left, so real quick.
So when I look at, like, my projected retirement, it's about the equivalent to what I'm currently making, but I won't have any debt, and I won't have four wonderful children in the house.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my plan. I'm looking at that and saying, well, we're living on it now. Why couldn't I live on it then?
Yeah. Well, depending on what study you look at, Jed, because of what you just said, you're not saving for retirement. Hopefully the kids are off the payroll. You don't have as much need for insurance policies like life insurance once you have, you know, your savings to take care of your living expenses, both you and your wife. Typically, retirees will find they live on anywhere from 65 to 80% of their pre-retirement income. So you may be right on track. And I think that's where the benefit of the retirement planning comes in. So you have that confidence to know we've got a plan, we're working the plan, we're following biblical principles, we're giving generously, we're getting out of debt, and you can really enjoy then real financial freedom.
Unless, of course, your four children move to all four spots on the compass and then you want to spend a lot of time and money visiting them, we wish you the best. More Money Wise Live. Stick around.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. Most of you listening to me right know you should be sharing your faith, but have no intention of doing it. None. You've never done it, you never will. And if you stay with that mindset, you'll never know how being a Christian is fun. Do you see the fear in the eyes of everyone you talk to these days? The world's in panic, searching for truth that you have. The peace that you enjoy is hugely attractive to those facing the terrors of this world and the next. The fun begins with the questions you can't answer. They ignite your Bible study. You'll jump for joy when the Holy Spirit directs you to the right scripture. And there's nothing like sharing scriptures that answer the questions with the person who asked the question and watching their reaction. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
We're going for a mystery trip. That was my Sunday afternoon family special. But my oldest son always started his barrage of questions until I finally looked over the back seat and just said two words, "Trust me." Well, I'll tell you, this COVID virus thing feels like a massive mystery trip. And man, do we have questions about where we're going to be when it's over. There's a lot of fear and uncertainty and loneliness and grieving. But for 2,000 years, people have found one person they could trust with their fears and their past and their future and their life, and that's Jesus. He proved he can be trusted when he died an awful death penalty to pay for our sins and when he conquered death with his resurrection. The Bible says we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Look, if you're ready to trust your life, your soul, to this man who loves you like no one else, we're ready to help. Contact us at 888-NEED-HIM or chataboutjesus.com. You'll finally be forgiven, and you'll finally be safe.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is our final segment of a broadcast we previously recorded. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we hope you'll stick around and enjoy the rest of the program. Thanks so much for tuning in, for listening, and for letting others know about us. If you tune in on a regular basis and you find what we talk about each day helpful, perhaps you could tell a friend so they can enjoy the program as well. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. You can also find us online, moneywiselive.org. Hobart, Indiana, Dahlia, I understand you and your husband may be just a little maybe disagreeing on something maybe we can help you with, huh?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. We've had this sort of argument, but disagreement for the last couple of years.
Yes.
At the job that he has, they have, I think it's considered a profit sharing. I'm not quite sure. It's property management. And so they are allowed to put money into the properties when they're bought. And my husband's boss has been getting on him that he's not putting enough. And he has an awesome boss. He really does. And he looks out for his employees. And he really wants us to benefit from it as much as we can. And so he's been getting on him about putting more. My husband will get a bonus at the end of the year because he's in management. And so we usually depend on that bonus and our tax returns as our savings and, you know, where we're going to put money. So he'll usually take a couple thousand from that and put it towards, you know, investing. And I sort of disagree because we have a credit card, one that we owe about $8,000 on. And then we don't have our, like, 3 to 6 months savings as well. And I just feel like we did Financial Peace University a while back, and we were taught, you know, to have those things in place before investment. But he keeps feeling like if we don't invest now, we're missing out. And so we can't really come to an agreement on that.
Sure, sure. Well, I certainly understand. It does feel like you're leaving something behind and leaving money on the table, and you certainly don't ever want to do that. But I would really agree with you, Dahlia, that it is important to have your financial foundation under you, because remember, it might sound like a better idea to be investing today, especially if he's given, you know, preferred access to a real estate investment opportunity. That's the company's business, and perhaps the employees are able to get fractional shares in one of those investment trusts or properties. Now, since this is an event-driven recession, we expect things to turn around rapidly in the coming months. But what if they don't? Then if you've got credit card debt and a lack of emergency savings and something unexpected comes up, and now we're just really in a difficult and tight spot. I think the other point is that anytime you're paying credit card debt, the degree to which you pay that off is a guaranteed return equivalent to the interest rate of that credit card, whether that's 8 or 12 or 15%. Nobody's going to guarantee you in the real estate market 8, 12 or 15%. And so when you pay that money off, even if you're playing the balance transfer game, I still like you being completely out of credit card debt. So the visual on this is available on our website right there on the homepage at moneywiselive.org. You and your husband may want to check it out just to get a picture of, in the four areas that we allocate money, live, give, owe, and grow, what's the level one priorities, the level two priorities, and the level three? And at level one, in addition to tracking your spending and beginning your giving, you want to repay all credit card debt, and then you want to save for emergencies. I'd try to save $1,500 and then stop with the emergency savings until the credit card debt is completely retired, and then I'd go back and get that up to 3 months. Now, once that's done, I love the idea of taking advantage of retirement savings, long-term savings. In fact, I'd say your next step is to get at least 10 to 15% of every paycheck going to some sort of retirement savings, whether that's a Roth IRA or a 401k or an investment opportunity like you're describing through your husband's work. The only other thing I would mention is just be careful not to be overly invested in one particular asset or opportunity. You know, Ecclesiastes 11 reminds us that we should be well diversified, and you just want to make sure that you don't have all your eggs in one basket. And that's why we like to start with investing through a 401k or an IRA, where you can be very well diversified in the stock and bond market. But that doesn't mean that real estate isn't a great option. It is. Just be sure that you don't have everything tied up in one particular commercial property or investment opportunity. But other than that, I think the bottom line is I would prioritize the credit cards and the emergency savings first.
Dahlia, we're glad that you called today, and we wish you guys the best. Another important aspect is just keeping those lines of communication open so that you and your husband can talk about these things on a regular basis without lots of angst. And again, thanks for calling. Let's see. Paul, I understand you're in your car somewhere in the middle of Ohio, huh?
Yeah, actually, I am parked now. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure. We can hear you great. We appreciate you pulling over. Good. What's your question?
Oh, no, I'm actually finished for the day. But in any event, I started a new position about 5 months ago. And the only debt, you know, I currently have is my mortgage. Got savings built up and all the rest. So I'm looking into retirement. And they do offer a 401k here, which they do match 50% up to, so if I put 6% in, they'll put 3%. That's the maximum. But I used, and I forgive me, I forget the name of that investment tool, but I was looking up the funds that were offered through, and it's through Wells Fargo. And the majority of the funds that are offered, you know, are not biblically, you know, responsible type funds. They, you know, support abortion and all the rest. So I'm kind of torn as to whether I just go and start my own IRA or do I take advantage of the match or what, you know, what should I do in that respect?
Yeah, this is a great question, Paul, and I think it ultimately comes down to your own convictions. You know, what we see, and we talked about this yesterday on the program, what we see in Scripture from Jesus himself is the affirmation of the fact that as stewards, we should be investors. Jesus talked about investing often, and the investor in just about every one of his parables where he talks about investing, which was quite a few of them, the investor is the good guy, not the bad guy, and we see that part of being a faithful steward is getting a good return on our investment. So our money, God's money that we're managing, should be growing. And so we see certainly affirmation around investing. And then we see principles around investing, around the idea we just talked about with the last caller, Ecclesiastes 11:2, that we should be diversified, that we should take a long time horizon, that we should be have husband and wife unity. I mean, all of these ideas are important. Now, when we go beyond that into applying a filter where we want to align our investments with our values, I would say that really is a Romans 14 issue where each one needs to be fully convinced in their own mind. I don't think it's clear in Scripture that we should, you know, screen out every company on the secondary market for their either primary or business activity or what they do with their corporate profits one way or the other. I think that's a conviction decision. It's really a conscience matter. And so I think really, as you approach that, you need to be on your knees saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? The exciting thing is, Paul, there are some great resources out there, both to screen the investment options, including mutual funds that are out there, including those in your 401k, like evaluator.com. The letter evaluator.com is one of them. If you have a conviction around screening investments in that way, so that you can do that. And I would say if you don't have the option to really screen your investments in your 401k and you feel like you have a conviction, you and your wife, that you want to stay away from those types of investments, then I think you need to follow that. And the next option would be to go to an IRA like you're talking about. But I think that's ultimately a decision each person needs to make in terms of where they're coming down. So I'd encourage you to pray about it. And then once you come to that conclusion, then I think there are some great options for you to proceed accordingly.
Hmm. Paul, we're glad that you called today, and those are great questions you're asking yourself. I know you'll pray about this and do what you believe God is compelling you to do. Thanks so much. Miami, Florida, Anthony, we have about a minute and a half. Let's squeeze it in, all right?
Okay, great. Thank you very much for taking my call. Real sure. quick, got about $25,000 in debt, credit card, and two loans, and I have a IRA that I've never kind of had for a while or did anything with it. It's got about $56,000. I have two pensions that I'll get for my retirement. So this was just an extra added thing. Question for you, should I go ahead and tap the IRA and pay off all the stuff, even though I'll get penalized right now, or should I refinance my house and go that route?
So you owe about $25,000. What is your age, Anthony?
I'm 49.
Okay. All right. You know, I'm not a real fan of either of those options. I don't like you tapping the IRA simply because you're going to pay the 10% penalty everything you take out is going to be added to your taxable income. So you'll take it at least a 30% haircut on whatever you withdraw. And that money is no longer available to continue to be invested and compounding for your future. I don't like you refinancing the house because that's going to take unsecured debt and make it secured by your home, which we never want to do. So I think really my best option if I were you would be one of two things. One, start with your spending plan, see what you can cut back to free up money to pay down debt and snowball it. Try to pay it off as quick as you can. Or two, with the credit cards, visit with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org and see if they can't get those interest rates down, which should allow you to pay off the credit card debt 80% faster and pay it in full. We appreciate your question, though, and your call today.
We sure do, Anthony. Thank you very, very much. We got lots of callers on today. I like the fact that lots of people are thinking about paying off their debt, Rob, and hopefully God is moving in men and women's hearts in that regard. This is MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Thanks so much for listening and for tuning in today. My thanks to our production staff, Judy, Amy, Jim, and Gabby T with us today. The T, of course, for the total package. Join us again tomorrow.